This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me in the Quick Alone studios, he's not actually here in the studios, he's on a telephone line, but he's going to join us for the next 10 or 15 minutes to give us some insight to the NFL draft. Former Ohio State standout, NFL cornerback, now co-host with our boy Adam the Bull. That's, he should get award points just for that if he's working every single day with Adam. And he also does mock drafts for the Athletic. Dustin Fox joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Dustin?
What's up, Jody Mac? How you doing, man?
My pleasure. How's the Bull treating you these days?
Yeah, he's the Bull. You know how the Bull is. Bull's a little bit. He's a little feisty these days.
That's good.
We're getting three. You know why? Because it's so, he's so excited for baseball season. And we've been talking so much, you know, Browns quarterback stuff that I think he's just kind of, he's fed up. But we're getting through it.
Well, you got 18 days to go, and then you'll find out. And then you can be fed up about the Browns selection for the next 5 years.
That's right.
Because that's
right.
The way it's gone of late. Yeah. Is it a given they're taking a quarterback at number one?
Yeah, I think that's a given. I'm pretty sure that the way things have shaken out here with the trades behind them. And, yeah, I mean, I would be flabbergasted if they didn't take a quarterback at one. I mean, it's been since 99 that the Browns haven't had this opportunity. Haven't had the number one pick to go get it. I mean, last year they took Myles Garrett, but there wasn't, they didn't feel like they were going to go after the quarterback last year, obviously. I think this is the year. It's a very deep draft at the position, and the Browns can really sort of pick who they want. And I'd be, like I said, I'd be shocked if they didn't. And there's a lot of good ones here. I mean, they're all sort of flawed. I'm sure we'll get into some of them, but they've got the catbird seat here for the draft.
Before we start breaking down the quarterbacks themselves, let's talk about this new Browns front office. They've made a lot of changes over the last 2, 5, 10 years, different people in there. What does the John Dorsey regime, what are they going to, what have you gotten little glimpses of so far that you would base it on that's going to be different than past Browns regimes?
Oh, just they're acting like an actual NFL franchise, which we think is a nice change, because in the past, every move that has been made is you just sort of like scratched your head as to why they were doing it. And, you know, it almost like eluded common sense, like everything the Browns did in the past. So even though it's been just a short period of time with the moves that they've made with free agency and some of the trades, it has been a breath of fresh air. You know, it really has. It's been nice to see them go out and add, you know, some veteran players to this roster. It's one of the youngest rosters in football last year. And you know, they weren't making big splashes with some big names, but they added like a middle class to the roster. And in this league, you have to have those veteran guys that know and that you can count on, that can play and have depth to the team. So they've made some nice moves. I love the move to get Tyrod Taylor. I know some people didn't understand it, but I did, because the Browns just didn't have any stability at that position. And regardless of what happens with the draft this year, they had to go out and get themselves a quarterback who's capable of actually winning games in this league and bringing some stability to that position. So I've been pretty happy with these guys. I mean, the background is there. They've all been in Green Bay, and you know, Dorsey spent time in Kansas City, did a nice job drafting some players there. You can complain or dive into why he's not there anymore, which, you know, maybe that's an issue. I don't know. But, I mean, in terms of just picking players, he's got a pretty good track record.
Would it be best-case scenario for the Browns if they take whatever quarterback they want at one, the Giants and or anyone the Giants could trade the pick to would take a quarterback at two, and the Jets would take a quarterback at three?
Yeah.
Is it that easy to just hand in Saquon Barkley's name at that point?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't at that point. I mean, I could see why some people like Barkley, and I this is not to denigrate him at all. I just don't think that it makes sense for the Browns at four to go running back, especially considering they just signed Carlos Hyde. And they also have Duke Johnson, who is arguably one of the best pass-catching running backs in all of football. I frankly, and this goes back to My opinion prior to even the season, Bradley Chubb's the pick for me at four. I just don't think you're going to find a better player in the draft than him. And just to put him with Myles Garrett on the defensive line, you could literally have bookend defensive ends for the next decade and just be ferocious with that pass rush. So that's what I'm doing it for. I had a chance earlier this year. I called an NC State game for ESPN and back in September, and Bradley Chubb was like literally the made every play. I mean, it blew me away. I sort of fell in love with him then. And if he's there at four, that to me is a no-brainer for the Browns.
Yeah, the latest mock you put out, you had Saquon Barkley falling all the way to ninth in the draft.
Yeah.
There are some people think the Giants are going to sit at two and take him. You had the Giants trading down with the Bills and still getting him at nine. Damn, that would be great value for the Giants.
Well, yeah, so the way we do our mock drafts, it's very different than other people. And that's why I think some people just didn't understand it. And there was like people complaining and saying, oh, you guys are idiots. Well, we probably are idiots. That's part one. But part two, but the way we go about it, my partner and I, Zach Jackson, we alternate picks. The first mock we did, he had the first pick. And then I went with the evens. This time I started out with pick one and I took Baker Mayfield. And that was partly just because I love Baker. And then we kind of like combine it. Like we do what we think teams might do. And then we also try to have some fun and put some trades in there too. So we did make some trades in there. I don't have it. Actually, this was a few weeks ago. I don't have it in front of me. So I don't remember all the trades that we had, but I do know that we definitely had the Bills trading up to two to get their quarterback. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun to go through it. And you never know how this thing's going to shake out. It's going to be a unique year, I believe, because potentially, Jody, you could have like five quarterbacks go in the top 10. I mean, that's how crazy this thing could shake out. I mean, there's some people that think that, you know, like Mason Rudolph could all of a sudden like find himself in the top 10 because teams are just so desperate for a quarterback. And this is a pretty deep draft.
I happen to be a Mason Rudolph fan. I don't think he's going to go in the top 10, but I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I appreciate the fact that you didn't just put Denzel Ward in the top 10 because he's an Ohio State cornerback, that you had him coming off the board, either you or your partner, at number 12 to the 49ers. I think he might be the best DB in the draft. I think he's right there with Minkah Fitzpatrick, 1 and 1A as far as I'm concerned. Is he undervalued coming into this draft?
I think maybe he was until the combine, and then he runs like a 4.32 and just blows people away. I was sold on him going back to this preseason. I did a breakdown on The Athletic back in, I think it was like the summer, on Ward, and just kind of talking about how he was going to have to replace, you know, Marshon Lattimore and all those DBs that were drafted last year. And I was like, man, this guy could actually be better than all of those guys. And those guys went in, you know, the first round last season. So, I think Ward's going to go probably top 10. It just you never know how this thing shakes out. So for him to fall to 12 is not crazy, but he could also go at four. The Browns could take him at four. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. I think he's probably the best corner. I think Mink is the better DB because I think you can use him in a variety of ways, and he's just a complete total monster. I mean, he's just a freak. I love Fitzpatrick, but both those guys, you never know where they're going to fall.
Let me ask you about a specific player, and then we'll go back and we'll hit up on the quarterbacks because that is what the talk of the draft is going to be all the way up to it. You guys had him going middle second round, 47th overall. Christian Kirk of Texas A&M. Personally, I think he might be the best receiver in the draft. I know he's a slot guy, and if you can't play outside, it somehow lessens your value. Mm-hmm. That's malarkey. Everybody runs a slot player on almost every play in the NFL these days, and slot receivers are huge to offensive success. Why isn't this guy a first-round pick on a lot of people's mocks?
I don't know. I think it's because he's a little dude, you know? I mean, because he's like, what, 5'10 or 5'11 or something like that. But, you know, I watch him, and I mean, a lot of people make the comparison, so I'm not really going on a limb, but I think he really reminds me of Steve Smith, just the way he plays. And it's not just, you know, the size and all that and the quickness. It's more like the guy is just kind of a nasty receiver. And I'm with you. Like, I think he could go a lot higher. Just that's sort of how things shook out for us. I mean, I don't think this is a great wide receiver group. You know, I mean, there's some guys, I mean, between Ridley and, you know, Sutton and, you know, Kirk, I mean, I'm going to forget a couple other guys there too, but it's just not a deep receiving group. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if like the first receiver doesn't go off the board until like 20. You know, I don't think that would be crazy. So I think that's part of the reason we had Kirk Fullen.
All right, let's break down the quarterbacks. You said the latest mock, you had the first pick. You went Baker Mayfield. Is that just your ranking of the quarterbacks, or do you believe that's what Cleveland is looking at?
Well, I don't think anyone knows what Cleveland's looking at. That's part one. Anybody who thinks that they do, I think they're fooling themselves, because John Dorsey hasn't told anybody what he's doing at that position. I know this. I was at the Senior Bowl, and Baker was obviously there. And I spoke to John Dorsey down in Mobile, and I knew coming out of Mobile that there was some tangible buzz surrounding the Browns and Baker Mayfield. Now, does that mean they're going to draft him? Of course not. But it means that they're interested in him. And based off of what my evaluation is, and I'm not a quarterback evaluator, I'm an ex-football player who watches tape. I think I know what I'm looking at for the most part, but I'm not like some crazy quarterback guru. He's my favorite quarterback. And part of it has to do with what I see on the field. But also, it has to do with what I see from him in terms of his leadership and his, you know, the way he plays the game with such a swagger, with a chip on his shoulder, that I just think that's something that the Browns desperately need. Listen, to be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, it's going to take a special individual to turn this team around. And part of the reason that I picked him for the Browns at one was because I think that he has all of that. Now, if you're going to be the offensive coordinator, the head coach of the Browns, and you draft Baker Mayfield or whoever drafts him, you better run an offense that's going to suit him, because he's got a lot of ability, but it's not like you can just plug this guy in and not use some of the concepts that he's used to. He's a true West Coast guy. I mean, you could get the football out of his hands quick. Great. Then you can win with this guy in the league. But if you try to bring him in here and put him in a situation where he's not comfortable and all that, then it won't work. So a part of it has to do with fit. And so I picked him for the Browns at one. I think the Browns are going to take Sam Darnold. You know, now this mock was a couple weeks ago, but the more that I hear about Darnold and talk to people, I think that maybe he's probably the pick. I mean, he's probably the safer pick, because there is some concern with Baker. How's he going to handle the pressure? Is he going to be too is going to go too crazy with the way that he is emotional, like on the field, right, the way he plays. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Darnold is the pick. I mean, Baker is my pick, and I do think the Browns like him, but I think that there's probably a little bit more risk with Mayfield.
And I give you credit for, again, not being over Ohio State centric, because he did kind of slam that flag down in the middle of the Ohio State field.
He deserved to do it. He balled out.
He did that day. That's for damn sure. All right. One other guy I want to get on before we wrap this bad boy. I get it that you got a draft for the National Football League in 2018, 19, 20, 21, and the game is changing. And I'm making the argument for a guy like Kirk, because that's what the NFL is. It's a slot receiver league now. Everybody runs three wide receiver sets, if not four, if not five, all the time. So don't give me the you devalue a player because he only plays in the slot. I think that's a crock. The linebacker position in the NFL isn't worth what it used to be. Because of all the wide receivers, people are playing four, five, six DBs at a time, and linebackers just coming off the field. But I'm a huge Roquan Smith fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was, to me, the best defensive player in college football last year. You can say other guys bring other attributes and the like, and I can't argue that. But if you're just talking about who was the biggest game wrecker in college football for me last year defensively, it was Roquan Smith. But again, linebacker being de-emphasized in the NFL, how high does he go? How high should he go if my assessment is right that he's that good a player? Or was on the collegiate level, will that show itself on the NFL level?
I called a Georgia game not this past season, but 2 years ago in 2016. And this guy, I mean, Kirby Smart, when we were doing our prep meetings with Kirby, he was just raving about Roquan, and this was 2 years ago. And during the game, I mean, the guy just is such a unique player, because he's got his athleticism is something where, like, you don't ever have to take him off the field. Now, he can run sideline to sideline, but he plays a lot, I think, bigger and more physical than his size. Like, he can match up with tight ends. You can put him in the slot, like, and he can run a little bit now. So I love Roquan. I think he's going to go top 15. He could go top 10. If I was the Browns, like I've said this on my show, the only player I wouldn't trade out of four for would be Bradley Chubb. And if Chubb somehow goes at two, like let's say the Giants get nuts and because the JPP trade, they want to get a D-end and Chubb's a stud. So let's say they take Chubb at two. Well, if I'm the Browns, I'm trading out of four with like the Bills or something. I'd move to 12 and And hell, maybe you get Roquan at 12, and then you're just like, well, we just got an extra first-round pick for next year. The 22nd pick in this draft, and we're rolling with Roquan Smith. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like a dream scenario if that thing shakes out like that. But I'm with you. I think Roquan is going to be a stud for whoever drafts him. I think in our mock, we may have had him going like 11 to the Dolphins.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I mean, right in that 8 to 12 windows, I think, where he probably ends up.
And almost every mock I see him, they got him going 10 to the Raiders. So he's a top 10 pick, but
sure.
I just still think he could be even higher than that. That's my personal take on it. All right, when's the next mock coming out?
I don't know. Probably, we've got 18 days, so probably not this week. We'll do the last one probably the week before the draft.
We'll be on the lookout for it. You can catch him every day working with our boy Bull there on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Check out his next upcoming mock on The Athletic. Dustin, thanks much for joining us. My pleasure.
Anytime. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.